Turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look at the middle of our bulletin, and the passage of Scripture that we'll be talking about is right there. We're going to be reading Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 29. So we've got a little bit of reading to do, but believe me, it will be well worth our reading. God's word is always well worth it. Let's start in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 41. It says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions, and said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and find them not. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. Say to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord, and the glory of the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things that they what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Indeed, you are nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun, he shall call on my name, and he shall come against princes as though mortar, as the potter treads clay. Who has declared from the beginning, that we may know, and the former times, that we may say, he is righteous? Surely there is no one who shows, surely there is no one who declares, surely there is no one who hears your words. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are, and I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. For I looked, and there was no man. I looked among them, but there was no counselor. Who, when I asked of them, could answer a word? Indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their molded images are wind and confusion. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would help us, Lord, overcome fear in our lives, that you would help us by your word this morning to put aside all our fears, to totally trust in you, the God who has said, trust me, the God who has said, I will take care of you, the God who said, I will protect you. Lord, help us to trust in you, the only living and true God. Help us today, Lord, to remember what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in that, we might have peace and rest for our souls. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What do you fear? What do you fear? You know, some people fear heights. I'm one of those people. I fear heights. We have gone to Six Flags this summer, and of course they got a lot of high rides there. You can go up on a swing way up and swing around, and you can go on roller coasters that are way high. Guess who hasn't rode any of those rides? Me. Because I do not like heights, okay? I do not like it. And I avoid any circumstance where I have to get high. Yeah, I know, that didn't sound good. I avoid that too, okay? But anyways, you know, some people fear spiders. Some people fear snakes. Some people fear crowds. Some people fear enclosed spaces. Now, there's some less common fears, but legitimate as well. There's pelidophobia, the fear of baldness or bald people. Aerophobia, the fear of drafts. Porphyrophobia, the fear of the color purple. Cataphobia, the fear of hairy people. So some people are scared of bald people. Some people are scared of hairy people. Dextrophobia, fear of objects on the right side of the body. Oreophobia, fear of the northern lights. Caliphobia, the fear of obscure meanings. Vessellophobia, the fear of being seated. So ushers, be aware that some people might be fearful of you seating them, okay? Stabisbophobia. Some of these are hard to pronounce. The fear of standing and walking. Ontophobia, the fear of teeth. Arr, right? Graphophobia, the fear of writing in public. And, of course, phobophobia, the fear of being afraid. So, there's a lot of different fears out there. And however strange these fears may seem to you, they are terrifying to others to the point of altering their lifestyle and hindering them from certain accomplishments. I want us to understand that. The creation, the reaction of fear is not wrong. Sometimes we have a reaction of fear, and it's a good thing. It gives us a sense of danger. But fear becomes wrong or sin when it prevents us from trusting in the Lord and doing what he wants us to do. Wayne McDill said this, "The secret to neutralizing fear is to embrace the threatened disaster and count it as not too high a price to pay for obedience to Christ." This attitude of faith may not totally eliminate uneasiness or apprehension. It will, however, allow you to go ahead and act in obedience to Christ. The problem of fear is not the fear itself, but the fact that we allow it to immobilize us. Being afraid is no sin. Shrinking back fearfully from obedience is sin. Fear can stop you in your tracks as a Christian. but it doesn't have to. You can trust God and move ahead in obedience because you understand fear and know how to deal with it. That's what we need to understand. We need to be able to diminish our fears. So diminishing our fears is something we need to learn if we are going to serve the Lord the way He wants us to. Now, God knows this. So He has given us promises here. Promises right from His Word that He never has ever gone back on. He's given us these promises so that when we face fears, we can overcome them. We can overcome the fear factor in our lives because of the promises that God has made to us. Notice verse 10. It says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Is there any wavering in those promises from God? No, there isn't. We can rely on these words from God. He will strengthen you. He will be with you. He will uphold you with His right hand. All these things are clearly what God wants to do in your life. So if these are things that He wants to do in our lives, we can live this life without fear hurting or hindering what God wants us to do. Clearly, God wants to help us overcome the fear factor in our lives. So let's take a closer look at this passage and see how we can diminish the fear factor in our lives. Now, the fear factor is diminished when you have good protection. The fear factor is diminished when you have good protection. Notice in these verses that God reminds Israel of their relationship with Him. In verse 8, God calls them His servant. We have this close relationship with God as believers in Jesus Christ. When we trust in Him as our Savior, we have this relationship with Him, a servant relationship. We are one of His. We're not only one of His servants, but we're one of His children. He calls us in other passages of Scripture. But then God reminds them how He has treated them in the past. I want you to understand, God has treated us well in the past, and we can be assured that He's not going to change that in the future. God has always looked out for His people. He has always done what's best for them. He has always done what's best for them. And He will always do that for us. If you look back on your life and you see what God has done in your life and how He has done what's best for you in every circumstance in your life, why would you think He's going to do anything different in the future? He's not. He's going to continue to do what He has always done because He is a faithful God. He is an unchanging God as well. He is totally consistent in everything that He does. This passage reminds me of a common theme in many ways, in many stories and TV shows that we've seen, and some real life events. You see, God is telling Israel of a future king that is coming. If we read the first 7 verses, God is telling the nation of Israel about a future coming king. He's coming in about 150 years, but He's telling them about this king of Persia. His name is Cyrus, and he's prophesying about what's going to happen in the future, how this king is going to conquer nations. And of course, this would put fear in the hearts of the people of Israel. But He says, don't worry, don't fear, because I will still be with you. although this world may be conquered, I will still be with you. Although your world may be shattered, the one that you have right now, although your life may drastically change, I'm still going to be with you. That's what we need to remember. We need to remember that with anything that happens in this world, no matter what happens, if our world crashes down around us, our God is still going to be with us. That is the promise of God to every believer in Jesus Christ. And so we need to see that this is our protection. God is our protection. One of my favorite cartoons is Tom and Jerry. Anybody like Tom and Jerry? Love Tom and Jerry, right? Amen. I can watch Tom and Jerry all day. It's good stuff, right, George? All right. Amen. Well, anyways, there's this one episode of Tom and Jerry where Jerry makes friends with the dog. He helps out the dog, you know, the big old bulldog, right? He makes friends with the big old bulldog, and the bulldog's so appreciative of something that Jerry did for him that he says, "Listen, Bob, if you ever need me, all you've got to do is whistle, and I'll be right there for you." Well, you know how it goes. Tom is chasing Jerry around like usual. But this time, when Tom snatches Jerry up in his hand, Jerry whistles, and here comes the dog, right immediately. Pounds Tom into the ground, boom, 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 and Jerry gets off scot-free, right? And that happens about 10 times in the cartoon, and we all laugh and we have a good time. Well, Jerry had some protection, and instead of having to run in fear, all he had to do was call upon his protection. That's what we need to do. We don't need to run in fear. Not one Christian should have to run in fear. All we've got to do is call upon our protection. God, the Lord Jesus, the one who said, "I will strengthen you, I will protect you, I will be with you always." That is what we need to remember. We need to remember that we don't have to fear because we've got protection. And we've got the best protection. We've got the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. With him as our protector, we should not fear anything. God is our friend, and he will protect us through some of the scariest of times. This quote, I don't know who it came from, but it says, "Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his child." That's what we need to remember. God's going to be with us regardless. Don't be like Johnny. 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen as his mother made supper. She asked him to go into the pantry and get a can of tomato soup, but he didn't want to go in alone. "It's dark in there and I'm scared," she asked again, and he persisted. Finally, she said, "It's okay. Jesus will be in there with you." Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly opened it. He peeked inside, saw it was dark, and started to leave when at once an idea came, and he said, "Jesus, if you are in there, would you hand me a can of tomato soup?" That's not really what we need to be doing. We need to face our fears and do what we're called to do, because we have God as our protector. Now, secondly, the fear factor is diminished when you have needed resources. The fear factor is diminished when you have needed resources. As you read through verses 14 through 20, you'll see that these verses make it clear that God is going to provide whatever is needed for his people to accomplish the purpose he has called them to. Understand that. God is going to provide whatever is needed for his people to accomplish the purpose he has called them to. That is a promise from God. Remember what we talked about Wednesday night. I said it in Sunday school. I said it at the offering. I'm going to say it again because it's really helped me, and I think it'll help you. God will always meet your genuine needs. God will always meet your genuine needs. Notice God calls them worm. What does this mean? He's not insulting them. He's letting them know he understands their weakness. We're weak. We are. We're weak. You know, we think we can accomplish great things, but a lot of times we're just weak. And we really can't accomplish much, if anything, without the Lord. And he knows this. So he states this so that we understand that he knows that we are weak and in need of his strength. Notice God calls himself their Redeemer. Their Redeemer. You know, God is going to compensate for our shortcomings and weaknesses. You know, I was reading in a book I'm reading, used it in Sunday school this morning, and the author said, if your greatest need was entertainment, God would have sent a comedian for us. If your greatest need was finances, God would have sent a banker to us. But your greatest need was to have your sins paid for and forgiven by the Lord, by God. So he sent Jesus, the Redeemer, to pay for your sins. That is what we need to remember. God is a God who is going to make sure you have what you need. And even if it costs him his only begotten son, that's what he's going to do to make sure you have what you need. That's the kind of God you can trust in. That is an awesome God who will do that for you, who will be there and make sure he does everything that you need to meet your genuine needs, even in your weakness. Our God has done this for us, and we should recognize that we can trust him and face our fears. Now notice verse 17. Look what it says. It says, the poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Our God will provide for us physically. I want you to understand that. Our God cares about our physical needs as well. Remember what Jesus said. If you seek the kingdom of God first, all these physical things, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, your clothes, whatever, he'll take care of those. He wants us to be focused on him and his will, not on the petty things of life. Now, hey, when the bills are due, and you're looking at the bills, and you're looking at your money, and you're trying to figure out how this is all going to work, understand something. God's looking at the same things. He's looking at those bills as well. He's looking at what you've got. He is going to supply. Now, that may mean you get your cable cut off. Maybe you don't need cable, amen? With all the trash on TV these days, God's doing us a favor. You know, we got to understand what our genuine needs are. And maybe if he allows some financial hardship, it's so that we will whittle down the things that are hindering us from doing his kingdom work and make it so that we understand what our real needs are, what our real genuine needs are. Now, there's a man who is named Sir Winfred Grenfell. He was a missionary in Labrador. He found himself adrift on an ice floe, headed out to sea. He mercifully killed his dogs, made a coat out of their hides, put up a distress flag, and laid down and slept. Later, he said, there was nothing to fear. I had done all I could do. The rest lay in God's hands. Now, there's something that we need to understand. God is going to provide for us. He wants us to do what we should do, right? The Bible makes it clear that we shouldn't be lazy, that a slothful man will come to poverty, right? He wants us to work. He made that clear. But once we do what we can do, we're going to trust in Him. We have to trust that He is going to take care of our genuine needs. Obviously, He did it for Mr. Grenfell, and He will do it for us if we'll just trust in Him. He was able to rest on the ice floe, on an ice floe. What about you? Can you rest even though things aren't exactly like you expect them to be? Can you rest? We don't need to live in fear because the Lord is going to provide the protection and resources we need to accomplish His will. So, let's remember that. Let's remember to face our fears with the idea, with the truth in our mind that God is going to protect us and provide for our genuine needs. Then finally, the fear factor is diminished when you know the outcome of your life. The fear factor is diminished when you know the outcome of your life. The Lord returns to the trial setting here that is established in verse 1. He prompts the heathen to provide evidence in support of their false gods. Have any of these gods predicted the future? Can any of them order coming events? No! Only the true and living God, the King of Jacob, can do this. Now it is important that we note that these prophecies that are spelled out here in the first part of this chapter come 150 years before they happened. And they actually did happen exactly the way our God, the Lord God, predicted. Who else can do that but God? Who knows the past and the future perfectly but God? So we know that He knows the outcome, and He's also told us the outcome. For each and every one of us who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, our outcome is eternal life with God in heaven. That is our outcome. The God who can predict coming events, who can orchestrate coming events, who can do whatever He wants and keep every promise He's made perfectly, has told us what the outcome is, what our future is. So if you know what's over here in the future, you can face what you've got right here without fear. You know, impalas. Have you ever seen an impala? It's like a deer-like creature in Africa. Now, these impalas, they can jump 10 feet high, and they can span 30 feet. These things can jump like that and go 30 feet and go 10 feet high. Yet you can keep an impala in a pen with a 3-foot wall. You want to know why? Because an impala will not jump where they cannot see where they're going to land. They will not jump where they cannot see where they're going to land. We don't need to live like that. If God tells us to jump over a wall, we need to jump over the wall because we know what the outcome's going to be. We know that he's going to look out for our genuine needs. We know that he's going to protect us. We know that our future is eternal life. So if he tells you to jump over the wall, if he brings you to a wall, don't be scared of that wall. Jump over that wall. Do what God calls you to do without fear, without being confined and constricted by our fears. So many people live their lives hindering the will of God in their lives because they have a fear of something. Because they have a fear of something. We can do great things for the Lord, but we must overcome the fear factor. During the building of the Golden Gate Bridge over San Francisco Bay, construction fell badly behind schedule because several workers had accidentally fallen from the scaffolding to their deaths. Engineers and administrators could find no solution for the costly delays. Finally, someone suggested a gigantic net be hung underneath the bridge to catch anyone who fell. Finally, in spite of the enormous cost, the engineers opted for the net. After it was installed, progress was hardly interrupted. A worker or two fell into the net, but they were saved. Ultimately, all the time lost to fear was regained by replacing fear with faith in the net. Now, God has promised to be your net. God has promised to be your safety net. That's what he's promised. And if you will just do his work, no matter what, he'll take care of you. We can trust in the Lord. We don't have to live in fear. No Christian who is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior has to live in fear. What about you this morning? Is your life controlled by fear? Listen, your Lord has promised you so many things like protection, provision, that you don't have to fear. You do not have to fear. He has promised those things to you. Maybe you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Savior. Maybe that's why your life is full of fear, because you haven't genuinely trusted Jesus as your Savior. How about today you do that? How about today you come to him with a humble heart saying, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Please help me. Please provide for me. Please lift me up in my weaknesses. Please help me overcome my fear. If that's you today, you can pray that prayer and ask Jesus to be your Savior, and you won't have to live your life in fear anymore. Christian, you know your God has been faithful to you. There's no reason for us to fear. When fears come your way, don't let it hinder you from doing what God wants you to. Just keep doing what he asks. He will protect you. He will uphold you with his right hand.